Hi, this is Linda Rex. Welcome to Our Life in the Trinity. This is a sermon for February 19th, 2023. We're going to be talking about transfiguration. And we're going to talk a lot about transfiguration, and you can read it, the story, in Matthew 17, 1 to 9. But we're going to actually be using for our text today, 2 Peter 1, 16 to 21. And the title of this sermon is Do Not Be Afraid. And we're going to talk a little bit about fear and what that has to do with us. Also, we're going to read the text, talk a little bit about it, have communion together toward the end if you want to get ready for that. And then we'll close with the benediction. So, will you join me in a word of prayer as we get started here? Father, thank you that we can be gathered together today and learn a little bit more about you and about your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Spirit, and what it means that we're included in your life, your love. And the way we learn about that is learning about who Jesus is. So we pray, Heavenly Spirit, that you might reveal Jesus to us more clearly today. And we ask this in your heavenly name, Christ. Amen. You know, have you ever really, really been afraid? I think fear has been way too much a part of my life, personally. But I was thinking the other day about, you know, what if God asked us to go somewhere we really didn't want to go? You know, we're going to read probably next week, I would imagine, because we'll be entering into Lent. We're going to read the story about Jesus going into the wilderness for a time of testing. Why did he do that? Well, when you read the Gospels closely, you see the Spirit sent him out there. God was the one that kind of led him out there to be tested by the devil. That's kind of a weird thing. Why would God allow something like that to happen to his Son? I mean, he just got done, as Jesus is baptizing, saying to his Son, "You are my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased." And then he sends them out into the wilderness to be tested. What? But see, we need to understand that God's not going to send us anywhere that he doesn't go with us there and bring us out of the other side. So the question I'm going to ask again is, what might God do if you were willing to let him take you somewhere you didn't really want to go, or do something you really didn't think you were able to do? Is it possible, just maybe, God might do more than you could ever ask or imagine? See, he likes to put us in these places where it takes faith, where it requires trust in him. You know, what are you afraid of? What am I afraid of? You know, one of the things I've learned about myself is I often choose only what I know I'm going to succeed at, because I have this fear of failure, right? So the thing is, if I only do what I know I can do and do well, what room does that leave for God to do something in and through me? You know, that leads a lot toward that whole thing of walking by sight rather than walking by faith, which is what God calls us to do. He calls us to walk by faith, not by sight. He wants us to leave room for him to work. So sometimes he asks us to do something like stepping out on the water. I was watching the third season of The Chosen, and oh, this particular episode was where Peter was going to step out of the boat. And we find him stepping out, and he's doing great, walking on the water, until what? He starts looking around him. And then he begins to see what's happening, and fear sets in. He did what? He took his eyes off of Jesus, and then he began to sink. And see, that's what we do. We get overwhelmed by fear when we stop looking at the truth of who Jesus is and who we are in him. That is what upholds us when things get scary. One of the songs that came out a while back was Fear is a Liar. It's by Zach Williams. And the chorus, I think, is just really caught me when it first came out. It says, fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness. Cast your fear in the fire, because fear, he is a liar. And that is so, so true. So, so true. For those of us who really wrestle with anxiety and fear, it's good to know that we can cast our fear in the fire of God's love and grace. Do we, and this is a really good question to ask ourselves sometimes, do we refuse to follow Jesus into those crazy, scary places because we're afraid of maybe looking different? Or we can be afraid of what people might think. Yeah, what would they think if I do this? This is a little off the wall. This is a little different than what everyone else is doing. What might people think? Are we afraid of what might happen to us? You know, we can question whether God's got a hold of us as we're going through this thing. We forget sometimes that, you know, he holds the universe together. I guess he can maybe hold us through it. But what are we afraid of? Are we afraid of what he might expect from us? What if he has expectations of us? And see, God doesn't really have expectations. He already knows what we'll do or not do. He has expectancy. He's expectantly waiting for us to do this with him. He'd love to share life with us and go through all these things with him. So thinking about this whole thing about how we approach life and the fears we have and the anxieties we have, we look at Transfiguration, and the story was saying is in Matthew 17, 1-9, of where Jesus takes Peter, James, and John with him and goes up on this mountain to pray. And as he's praying, he becomes transfigured. And then the disciples see him talking to Moses and Elijah, which they're dead, so how can he be talking to them? And then this cloud surrounds him, and a voice comes from heaven saying, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. So we see God speaking into Jesus exactly what he spoke when he was coming up out of his baptism. And of course, the disciples fall on their faces. They're terrified. And Jesus goes over them and touches them and says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. See, God's word to us when encountering him is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So Peter was one of those who witnessed that whole event, and it hit him powerfully. So he writes about it in his epistle, 2 Peter 1, 16-1 specifically. And he says this, for we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. They were eyewitnesses not just of Christ's ministry and his humanity. They were eyewitnesses of his majesty. They saw something that only they saw. And Jesus allowed them to see it. And then he told them, don't tell anyone until I'm raised from the dead. And they weren't even sure what that meant. In verse 17, Peter says, for when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, and he's referring to the Father, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Verse 18, and we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So this wasn't a cleverly devised tale. This was what they had experienced. This is what had actually happened. And so they were talking about it. And Peter had it written down. Verse 19, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by this Holy Spirit spoke from God. And here Peter is being moved by the Holy Spirit to share what he saw and heard, what was spoken in his heart by God. So transfiguration, in this event, we see that Jesus' true essence began to be manifest through his body, in other words, his external began to manifest what was true about him internally, that he was God in human flesh. He began to shine with glory, with this magnificence that he truly was as God in human flesh. These eyewitnesses, Peter, James, and John, just could not forget what they had seen and experienced. It was so powerful to them. Peter heard this word that Jesus was beloved of the Father, and his Father was well pleased with him. And this Jesus, this Son of God, that the Father was so well pleased with, was what? Human. Human flesh. And yet he was God. And Peter had to wrestle with this. What did this mean? Our human flesh was beloved by our Father in Christ. God has given us as human beings an incredible divine dignity to bear this divine majesty in human flesh in Jesus Christ. So often we as human beings are blinded by the lies we believe about God and ourselves. We struggle to see the truth that God loves us. God made us so that God could dwell in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that he could live and dwell with us and live in face-to-face relationship with us. In the garden, we see that God always meant for us to walk and talk with him, to have fellowship, warm fellowship with him. In the end of the story, in Revelation 21-22, we begin to see that that was always God's plan, and he's not going to stop until he's done it. And part of this plan involved God coming to us in the person of Jesus Christ and bringing us into the inner fellowship of Father, Son, and Spirit through his life, his death, his resurrection, and ascension. God isn't opposed to us. What he's opposed to is evil, sin, and death. And he eradicated those things in his life, death, resurrection, ascension in Jesus Christ. And he's working that out in our human flesh by the Holy Spirit. God has done everything necessary, and he won't stop until he's finished it. God's perfect love expressed to us in Jesus Christ means we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. Jesus Christ, who is God in human flesh, has come to us and touched us in a real and personal way by becoming one of us. And he says to us, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He's done and is doing now by the Holy Spirit and will do when he returns in glory all that is needed so we can live now and forever in right relationship with God in the Spirit. He calls us to turn away from ourselves and turn to Jesus Christ in faith. Turn to him, trust in his perfect work. Allow his Heavenly Spirit free reign in our hearts and lives. Allow God to dictate how we live and what we say and do. Let him be the Lord he is. Trust in God's perfect love and allow him to do what only he can do, save and redeem us. Enable us to live in right relationship with him now and forever. There's just such good news in this whole thing. We see something in Jesus in the Transfiguration that is our hope for ourselves. That there is a glory that is ours in Christ that will be revealed in the end, when Christ returns in glory and we're raised to dwell, to meet Jesus in the air and then come to live in the new heavens and new earth with Jesus forever. What a wonderful hope we have. And all because we can affirm the essentials of our faith, that we died with Christ, we rose with Christ, and we share in his glory now and forever. What great news that is. And we celebrate it each week as we take the elements together. We take the bread and then the wine or grape juice, and we take it together. And we give thanks. Now we realize that many of us fall short of what is needed. That is why we need Jesus. And that is why we confess our need for him. We agree that, yes, apart from Christ, we have no hope. So let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that even though we're so far from where we need to be, you have brought us where we need to be. And you will not stop until you finish that. We receive your grace because we need it, and we acknowledge our desperate need for all you do. We ask you to finish what you started, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus took the bread and, breaking it, said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. He was willing to be broken for us, and we can be broken for others in that same way. Thank you, Jesus. And we receive the juice or wine, fruit of the vine, because Jesus said, this is my blood poured out for you. He poured his life out for us. We receive that life and live in it. Thank you. As you receive God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness, may you live in triumph over sin and death and evil through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, God bless you. Do join us again here at Our Life in the Trinity, or make sure you subscribe to our channel so you can see the newest ones that come out. Visit lifeinthetrinity.blog to read our weekly sermon blog and to check out our study questions. You can support our ministry on Patreon at OLIT Creative, and or you can sign up to join our online community. We love you. Take care. We'll hopefully see you again next week. God bless.